Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. And Adam, watching football yesterday, I reminded myself of a thought that I've had many times watching football in the past. Football, like life, is all about balance. And if you don't have balance offensively in the National Football League, if you can't run the football with passing the football and scoring points, you're usually dead in the water. And we saw yesterday the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers run the football in playoff games to advance to the championship round of each conference.
You know who doesn't care about your teasers? You know who doesn't care about your future bets? You know who doesn't care about your Super Bowl favorites?
Nope.
The Titans. The Titans do not care about any of those things. And Chris, as I watched yesterday, I was texting you during the games.
Yeah.
I was getting more and more upset that the Bears weren't in this. Because I'm watching the Titans, watching the 49ers. I'm like, the Bears could be doing this. The Bears could be doing this. Both teams took the game away from their quarterbacks and ran the ball. After Jimmy Garoppolo threw his interception, they ran the ball 30 out of 32 times. The 49ers did. We saw the game from Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, he had two touchdown passes. But other than that, he was just a game manager. It was Derrick Henry's day once again. And it was both games were won with defense and running the ball. And that is something that the Bears could be doing.
Right, and the thing with Kyle Shanahan running the football the way they did in the second half, it was to make a point.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was mean the way the 49ers controlled that game and ran the football. And you're right, you have two quarterbacks advance into the conference championships who didn't play well. Right? Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo didn't do anything yesterday that made you say those guys are elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, they didn't do anything to completely screw up the game, but they had smart head coaching that took advantage of what they could do running the football. You have Henry running it. You have all the running backs that the 49ers use, which, you know, Tevin Coleman last year was a free agent. I remember us having that conversation here in this studio last year that the Bears should go after a guy like Tevin Coleman instead to get Mike Davis. But there's a lot that I think we could take from yesterday and looking ahead at the games today where we could say, does this Bears team that we follow here in this city, do they pay attention to what else is going on in the rest of the National Football League? And can they pull things and learn something from what they saw yesterday? Because what we've seen from the 49ers all season long is a team that wins by the front four defensively. And then on offense, they are able to get their quarterback propped up and they allow him to thrive in what they do best. And what they do best usually isn't using that quarterback. It's running the football no matter how many times in a row to score touchdowns and to put points on the board. And that's the key here. And I'm wondering if Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace yesterday watched what we saw in the two games and the two teams that advance, and if they pulled anything from that and if they can take that and use that into next season.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Ryan Tannehill threw the ball a combined 33 times yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo, 11 of 19, one touchdown, one interception for 131 yards. As I mentioned, after that interception, the 49ers ran the ball 30 out of 32 times. Ryan Tannehill, 7 of 14, 88 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. The 49ers, Chris, ran the ball 47 times. I don't think Matt Nagy ran the ball 47 times before the bye. Like, you have to look at the way these teams and the way these teams are controlling the clock and just completely eliminated. Look at what the Titans did on defense to limit MVP Lamar Jackson. They only rushed four.
Yeah.
And they kept guys back, and when they did that, it completely messed up Lamar Jackson. And we talked all season, is there going to be a team that can stop Lamar Jackson? And it was the Titans. Mike Vrabel had a great game plan going into this game. Just run the ball. Derrick Henry, once again, over 180 yards for the third time in a row, and limiting Lamar Jackson and confusing him, and that's exactly what they did. Dude threw the ball 59 times. Now, I know they were losing a lot early, so that's how he had to get them back in the game and try to get them back in the game. But ultimately, a great game plan, and if you look at what these teams do defensively, the Bears ended the season 8th in defensive DVOA. The 49ers are 4th. Other than that, you've got Tennessee was 17th, Kansas City was 9th. Baltimore was 2nd. Green Bay today, 16th. Houston today, 27th in defensive DVOA. You can't tell me that if Matt Nagy had the right game plan and a better play from his, I'll admit it, better play from his offensive line, that the Bears could not be in this position, and we couldn't be talking about a team in the Bears that won a playoff game like a team did yesterday.
And that's why when we look forward to the games today with Seattle going to Green Bay, the one thing I think we need to watch in that contest is exactly what we saw yesterday. The team that runs the ball more and that gets the most rushing yardage today up at Lambeau Field, that's probably the team that's going to win. Seattle is third on the season in rushing attempts per game. And if you look for the Green Bay Packers on the list, they are down towards midway. They're 13th, so not in the top 10, but they do run the football quite a bit. And when we relate this back to the Chicago Bears, what we saw from last year and why this team was so successful, rushing attempts, they were 8th in the National Football League. This season, they were 24th. In rushing first downs, they were 12th. In 2018, this season, they're 27th. There's a reason why the offense sputtered and why it struggled to the extent it did. Now, no matter if you believe in Mitch Trubisky or not, the point is Matt Nagy and the offensive scheme they used this season didn't help the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think he's a good quarterback to begin with, Matt Nagy clearly didn't help him. If you think he's a quarterback that could be okay to get you by, to win some football games, to get to the playoffs, Matt Nagy also didn't help him. He didn't scheme him up to allow a young quarterback to thrive in this offense. And the thing that I point to the whole time is the drop in rushing attempts. If you go from 8th to 24th, you are clearly not setting up your team for success. And that's a clear problem, and it's something that needs to change going into next season.
And Derrick Henry is a monster. They don't have a Derrick Henry on this team, but that doesn't mean you can't try to run the ball. Just because you don't have a big bruising running back like that doesn't mean you can't do it. And I keep looking back at what Ryan Tannehill did. He only threw the ball 14 times.
Yeah.
7 of 14, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, he made throws yesterday that I don't know if Trubisky could make. Those 2 touchdown throws, I don't know if he can make those throws. But ultimately, it's a game plan that would work if you have a quarterback that is limited. And yes, Ryan Tannehill has had a great season. You look at his, he's had games over 300 yards. We've gone through them. He's had a great, if you go through just and look at his stats at his game log, he's had a great season. But he's had a great completion percentage. That's what he's been doing this season. He's picking and choosing his spots, and they've developed a game plan for him that relies on Derrick Henry and opens up more for Ryan Tannehill to be successful. That's something you can do with Trubisky. If you're telling me that you're going to run the ball 37 times and that's going to be how you get a majority of your yards and how you control clock, and then you're going to rely on your defense to limit teams, if that's the kind of football you can play, then fine. Trubisky might be able to be the guy. As long as when you need him to be the guy, he can step up. You saw in the last playoff game last weekend with Ryan Tannehill, they needed a first down to extend the game and kind of put, you know, the end of that game away, and he got it. It was like 20 yards right by the sticks. They stayed in bounds, kept the clock moving. It was fine. So he made that throw. And when you need him to make throws, he can do it. But he doesn't have to do it the entire game. He only threw the ball 14 times. That's a Mitchell Trubisky game plan. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the dude coming out and throwing it 59 times like Lamar Jackson. I don't want that. That's not what I want. I don't need this high-flying offense that Matt Nagy is supposed to bring. I want a successful offense. And you have to cater your offense to your team. The Bears should be running their team like the way the 49ers do, like the way the Titans do. You take the ball out of your quarterback's hands when he's not having a good day, when he's not being successful. You saw from Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, he could have had 3 or 4 interceptions. There were a few dropped interceptions. He plays like Trubisky does. There's a lot of Cutler comparisons going around yesterday to Jimmy Garoppolo, how he thinks he can make every single throw no matter how tight the window. And when you do that, it's up to Kyle Shanahan to be like, nope, we're not doing that. Come here. We're running the ball 30 out of 32 times the rest of the game. And they put that game away pretty easily yesterday. That's what I want to see. I want to see a coach that can get together a game plan for the team that he has.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck. If you want to talk football with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Or you can get at us on Twitter. You can tweet Adam at Adam A. Abdallah. And I'm at Chris Bleck on Twitter. You know, watching the games and seeing the football being ran so many times throughout both of those games yesterday to success and those teams winning made me think back to that game against the Saints this season for the Chicago Bears. The Bears lose to the Saints 36-25. In that contest, The Chicago Bears ran the football seven times. Tariq Cohen ran it three times for 10 yards. David Montgomery touched the ball twice. Two runs for 6 yards. Patterson with one carry. Anthony Miller with one carry. And that's it for the day. Mitch Trubisky in that contest threw the football 34 of 54. And that's basically the same stat line that we saw almost when we look at Lamar Jackson last night, 31 of 59, right? So you have a quarterback throwing it a ton. The offense didn't run the football at all. And that's where we get the sound clip the next day from Matt Nagy responding to the critics about his team against the Saints this season, early this season. It was October the 20th. Responding to the fact that they didn't run the football enough. They only ran it seven times against the Saints.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Right, and we heard that all season long.
I'm totally with
right, you. Right, the clips of Matt Nagy
admitting. I'm not an idiot.
Yes, you're not.
I'm not an idiot.
And that kept playing, right? Because
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
But he mentioned that in October, right? Mm-hmm. And this team at that point was 3-3. They finished the season 8-8, but it seems like the lesson from that game and the lesson that we saw yesterday in the National Football League, football is about balance, right? Just like life, you need to have a balanced lifestyle, work-life balance. You got to have exercise. You have some pleasure time, right? Going out with friends and enjoying yourself, going to dinner, all that stuff, right? It's all for a healthy, balanced mind, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have balance with offense in the National Football League, that's where you find yourself throwing it 50-plus times in a playoff game and then losing. And that's why you see the Ravens, even with the MVP. And I get it. There's a lot of people popping off last night and this morning that Lamar Jackson's trash. Guess what? He's not.
Yeah, he's the MVP.
The game plan yesterday was flawed, and they were beaten by a better team yesterday. Do I think Lamar Jackson is now flawed for the rest of his career? No. At some point, he's going to win. At some point, he's going to correct this, and it'll be fine. It's that's not the point mm-hmm. of yesterday's game. The point was Tennessee had a game plan that they worked to perfection, and even early on, it seemed like Tennessee wasn't it seemed like the Ravens had the momentum until that turnover. It was a bad pass by Lamar Jackson off the hands that then here come the Titans, and they score on that next possession, and it seemed like it completely flipped the momentum and how the game was played from there on out, because once Tennessee got the lead early, they were able to kind of stop Lamar Jackson, what he wanted to do. Go back to last season if you're a Bears fan. What was the game script for this team to be so successful to get to 12-4? It was, you get up early, score first on your scripted 15 plays, get a lead in the first quarter, allow the front four in that defense to go after the opposing quarterback, to sack that quarterback, to create turnovers, which we saw at a record pace last year for the Chicago Bears defense. And then when you are in the lead, you are able to control and dictate policy based on running the football more. This team ran the football last year. Matt Nagy did it last year. For some reason, he didn't do it this year. And we saw this Bears team not score as much as frequently as they did last year in the first quarter this season. And that's a part of why they turned out to be an 8-8 team, where that game script just turns just a little bit. And now the defense is a little bit better. Now Trubisky's a little bit better. And everything else around them is just a little bit better.
I'm glad you brought up that Saints game, too, from earlier in the year, because it's very much like the Ravens game yesterday where, yeah, Trubisky was 251 yards, two touchdowns, 34 of 54. But ultimately, it was 36-10 before he had those last two touchdowns. And Those two touchdowns came in the last 3 minutes of the game. So don't tell me he had this great game against the Saints because and that's what he needed to do. He threw the ball 54 times. Yesterday, Lamar Jackson threw the ball 59 times. So almost mirror images of those games. And it's all about the defense. Mike Vrabel designed a game plan that was great. So they didn't blitz at all. Jackson threw 21 passing touchdowns against the blitz this season. So what do? They didn't blitz. They sent four or fewer guys. He went 0 for 4 from outside of the pocket yesterday. During the regular season, he tied for the NFL lead with 8 passing touchdowns from outside the pocket. He went 1 for 10 for 7 yards when under duress. During the regular season, he led the NFL with 11 passing touchdowns when under duress. So they found a good way to limit him, and then their secondary played amazing. Their front four was great when they had it because they only rushed four, but ultimately, their secondary played a great game, and that's what you needed. That's what you saw from the Bears all last season. The defense was clicking. This year, it's not like the defense went away. You had injuries to Akeem Hicks. You have injuries to Danny Trevathan. They still managed to finish the season ranked eighth overall in defensive DVOA. And that's what you need to try to win games. The problem is the offense never had a real game plan. They never looked like they had a game plan going into every single game. These teams in the playoffs, they have a strict set game plan no matter what. And they have the ability, if something's not working, to adjust. Guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo is not having a good day today. He's almost thrown three interceptions. He's thrown one interception. So guess what? We're going to run the ball 30 times after he does that. We're going to run the ball 47 total times and just run the ball down your throat, control the clock, because that's, and then we're going to win. And that's just how it's going to work. If you look at the Titans and Derrick Henry, 30 carries. Was there a single game where any Bears running back got 30 carries?
No.
No, there wasn't. That's crazy. So when you look at it, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm loving these games. They're great. Yeah, they were blowouts, but whatever. And I'm sitting there, I'm just getting angrier and angrier about why the Bears could be doing this. The Bears can do this. It's not like you're watching the Patriots and they're putting up these crazy numbers. It's not like you're watching, you know, the greatness from Tom Brady. It's not like you're watching the Chiefs and Mahomes just ball out and put up 50 points. That's not what we're seeing. We're seeing controlling the clock. We're seeing defensive football. We're seeing running the ball. We're seeing the basics of football and limiting what your quarterback can do when you're having a quarterback that struggles like the Bears do with Mitchell Trubisky. That's what I saw yesterday, and that's something that the Bears could be doing.
Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan on the dedication yesterday to the run game.
We didn't start it out that way. It's just, I mean, you don't start it out before it saying, hey, we're going to run it every down. You just call a run to start out and you just stick with it. And eventually we scored.
God,
and half of us were asking where the throws were on it. And we've looked back at the pictures, realized that we didn't throw any. So it was just a hell of a job by the O-line coming off the ball, getting some push. When you can do that, you wear the guys down and force them to change some of their coverages a little bit. And then our defense kept getting us the ball back. And same with the special teams, you know, that long punt that they had, that we had, and Raheem being able to come down there, cause that fumble, that was huge too, and just a great overall win for the whole team.
Play that again. Play the beginning of that again for the people in the back. Play it again.
I know we need to run the ball more.
No, that's not what he. That's not what he. That's not what he said. No.
I'm sorry. Hand slipped there. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hold on.
I'm not an idiot.
No. Play Kyle Shanahan again, please. Play Kyle Shanahan again.
Hold on.
Louder for the people in the back.
I slipped again. Sorry.
Turn your radios up and listen to this morning.
Here we go.
We didn't start it out that way. It's just, I mean, you don't start it out before it saying, hey, we're going to run it every down. You just call a run to start out and you just stick with it.
Oh my God! You can stop it there. You can stop it there.
I know we need. To run the
you
ball
can stop
more.
It right
I'm not
there.
An idiot.
You call a run and you stick with it, and
I'm
you don't.
Totally with you.
So, is he? Was he with us?
I'm not an idiot.
Oh my God.
312-332-3776. If you want to talk football with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Robert in Romeoville is first up here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
Hey guys, I'm so with Abdallah and. You know what, man? Nagy did have a game plan before each game to stick to his own plan, regardless of the situation. Did not want to make adjustments. And when you play, and I was right with you, Abdallah, loving these games on the weekend, and also getting frustrated, thinking, why do the Bears can't do that? Why can't our head coach do that? And then you play the clip. I'm not an idiot. I need to run the ball more. And what does he do? The complete opposite. This guy is smarter than us. But everyone out there seems to be smarter when we can see exactly what the problem is at times. And next year, I really hope Coach Nagy looks himself in the mirror, knows that he needs to adjust, and he needs to change as a play caller, as a head coach also. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Robert. We appreciate the phone call. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Earlier this week, Adam, I heard something that made me think of Matt Nagy and this football team, the Chicago Bears. It was Joe Judge, the New York Giants' new head coach, in his introductory press conference to the New York media. He talked about what he learned from Bill Belichick, and when I heard this, the first thing I thought of when I heard him talk about this is, I don't think our head coach here in Chicago thinks this way. Here's Joe Judge talking to the New York media on what he learned from Bill Belichick.
And what I learned from Coach Belichick was real simple. Be flexible within your personnel. Don't try to shove round pegs in the square holes. Figure out what you have. Let them play to their strengths. Don't sit in a meeting and tell me what you don't have in a player. Don't tell me they can't do a certain thing. Tell me what they can do. And then we'll figure out as coaches, because that's our job, how we can use that. That's our responsibility. Everybody has something they can do. How many castoffs you see around the league that end up on another team? Everyone says, wow, how'd they get that out of them? Maybe they just weren't closing their eyes to what they could do. Okay, we have to, as a coaching staff, when we get assembled, we have to make sure we're sitting down, we're patient with our players, we fully evaluate them, we find out what they can do to be an asset, and that we're not foolish enough to not use that.
That was Joe Judge talking to the New York media, introduced as Giants head coach. And Abdallah, you know, the first thing I thought of was, I don't think Matt Nagy thinks like that. I think he thinks he has a scheme and a system, and that guys need to adapt to his idea instead of him trying to get the best out of the athletes that are given to him on offense or anywhere on the football field. And like that's one of those things where I think it's a simple idea that goes for not only football and for sports, but like just for life, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the idea of what can someone do, and let's use that to our advantage, opposed to this guy sucks, he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't do that. You know, like going down the list and trashing someone. Instead, how can we use this football player? How can we use this person to make us a better team, a better business, you know, a better office place, right? Like all of that kind of comes together. And I think it's interesting that you have a coach who comes from the Belichick tree that's looking how he can get the most out of players. And we have Matt Nagy, who we have seen consistently kind of shade other players on his roster that they don't fit what he's trying to do.
I think that maybe we got the coach from the wrong tree, because as I'm going through the last three seasons, the Chiefs were 23rd in 2017 in rushing attempts, 23rd in 2018, and 27th in 2019 in rushing attempts. So maybe we got the coach from the wrong tree.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Does he? Look at the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not an idiot.
Let's go to Tim in Downers Grove. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, boys, how are you?
We're great, man. How are you?
Good. I feel the pain, too. And a couple things. Nagy was the biggest problem. Well, that and the offensive line. And the problem with running the ball is the offensive line stinks, and it couldn't run the ball. He tried, and it was 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9 all the time. My biggest problem was all the backwards throws. Like when Mitch threw the ball down the field, they did well. They moved the ball. But, I mean, I got Tariq Cohen in my fantasy league. He had 9 catches for 19 yards against New Orleans. 9 for 19. And I don't understand why, if you go back and watch the last Green Bay game, 3 plays in the second half, Tariq Cohen was standing on the line of scrimmage, not blocking anyone, not out on a route, just looking around like a deer in headlights. And, like, why is he not drifting out where the linebackers vacate and let Mitch dump it off to him in stride? Now, I don't know who was talking about this thing Yurko was talking about earlier in the week. Like, why are they not drifting and hitting them downfield? Like, right. It's mind-boggling. I think the sideways passes they treat as a running game or something. But it doesn't work. All this, all these gimmick plays, all this, you know, motion stuff, it worked the first 6-8 games for Nick. After that, NFL defenses caught on to his BS. It don't work anymore.
All right, Tim, thank you. We appreciate the phone call.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Let's go to Ryan in Aurora on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, man. What do you got?
You know what? Nagy comes off great season last season, right? Playbook seemed to work. But the offensive line's so bad, if you don't give your quarterback at least 3 seconds to throw the ball and the pocket's collapsing, all of a sudden you got to change the plan. Now, all of a sudden, Nagy's got to have Trubisky get rid of the ball so damn fast, he throws it backwards. We got to address the offensive line. If we had an offensive line, we'd be in the playoffs right now. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ryan. And, you know, Ryan's point is interesting, because being 8-8, it's such a thin line between being a non-playoff team and a team that can get to 9 to 10 wins. I mean, the Titans are a 9-7 team. They're now playing in the AFC Championship game. So, you know, Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's about balance, right? This Bears team needs to learn from this weekend that balance is necessary for this team to be successful offensively. Also, you know, if they don't do anything with the quarterback position this offseason, that means this is even more true, right? Like, if Trubisky is still your starter next season, you clearly need the running game to be your number one weapon offensively for you to be successful. It's not going to be another season of let's hope Trubisky develops and let's hope we get something out of it. chances are that's not going to happen to the extent to carry the to lift the rest of the team. Instead, you need to run the football, allow the defense to shine, and eat up time of possession. Those are things that you need to focus on if Trubisky's still the quarterback starting for this team next season.
Jimmy Garoppolo, starting quarterback. They traded a lot to get him. He's got the beautiful eyes, the chiseled jaw. The 49ers rushed by design on 69% of their plays yesterday.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. We preview Chiefs and Texans next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I just ordered sushi from Japan.
Now yo, just wanna kick it, Jackie Chan. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black with Adam Abdallah live from the First Midwest Bank studio on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 10 a.m. And Abdallah, today, the game I'm looking forward to the most, Watson versus Mahomes. It makes me think back to the early 2000s when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning first met in the AFC Championship game. I get it. We're in the divisional round, but this kind of feels like the next 10 to 15 years, this is chapter one of what we will see in the AFC. These two quarterbacks dueling to see who can get to the Super Bowl each and every year.
How much do I have to pay to watch Ryan Pace watch this game?
Oh, well, come on. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You're, he should be forced to watch this Clockwork Orange style.
Well, yes. Okay.
Peel his eyes open.
All right, Alex.
And watch this.
We'll put him in the chair and we'll pull the eyes back. But listen, he's an NFL GM. You think he's not going to watch this contest?
I don't know. He didn't watch the Sun Bowl.
Well, yeah.
He didn't watch the Sun Bowl.
Quite possible.
Didn't watch the national championship game.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We now go to Kansas City and talk with Joshua Briscoe from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. He also writes for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Joshua, when you look at this contest, is that the way Chiefs fans are kind of looking at it as well, that this is chapter one between Mahomes and Watson, something we'll see many times in the years to come?
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like a matchup between two quarterbacks that you really would have wanted to have dinner with leading up to the draft and make sure you really done your research to make sure that you're getting one of these two generational quarterbacks, especially trading up to two, you know, and are really afraid of missing out on one of them.
Yeah, twist the knife.
Sorry, I mean, you guys brought it up. I wasn't going to. Whenever I got the message asking if I'd come on with you guys today, my first thought was like, oh, God, are you sure? Like, do you want to just pretend this isn't happening? Because like, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've talked about literally all week about how are you going to watch this game? Like, and what's worse is after this game, you get to watch the Packers maybe go to an NFC Championship game. So Bears fans basically this Sunday are just going to pretend like there's no games going on today.
It's the matchup of the quarterbacks today. It's the Packers, like Adam said. And then also yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers, which some think John Lynch pantsed Ryan Pace in that whole trading up for Trubisky deal. So you have the 49ers getting to the NFC Championship game. You got the Packers and then these two quarterbacks who clearly Ryan Pace didn't want to go to dinner with. And thus we are stuck with Mitch Trubisky here.
I can only imagine that it's like a straw in a bottle of your favorite alcohol kind of day, like just right into the bottle. And then, you know, you try to get through to the championship games and then start rooting for Ryan Tannehill, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. How different is this Chiefs team from the team that lost to the Texans earlier in the season?
That's a really good question. It's very different. There are several players on the defensive side that were missing. Frank Clark was like, he had a pinched nerve and like a couple of his fingers were numb for the first like 8 weeks of the season, which I always go back to because football players are just different. He was playing. He just like couldn't feel some of his fingers. So Chris Jones was out. Clark was limited. Anthony Hitchens, the linebacker, was out. He does a lot in terms of setting the defense around him. Eric Fisher, the left tackle, was out. Tyreek Hill was on a snap count. Patrick Mahomes was a little bit gimpy still from the ankle injury he suffered earlier in the year. So there are a lot of reasons this team is different. The negatives, Juan Thornhill was hurt in Week 17, the safety playing back there with Tyrann Mathieu. So that's a negative from it. For the most part, and even just like in terms of the defense continuing to grow, this team is very different now than it was then, and it was still pretty close to winning that football game then.
Joshua Briscoe from Kansas City talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. When we look at the game today and looking back at the two games we saw yesterday, clearly running the football mattered. Do you think the run-pass balance is something that the Chiefs discussed throughout the week heading into this matchup?
Honestly, I hope not. I mean, the thing that the Chiefs offense can do in terms of running the ball that matters to me is that whenever they choose to run it and they run it situationally, that it's efficient and that it's effective. There's no points bonus for running the ball more or for holding a time of possession for longer. I know it comes up a lot and it got mentioned a ton last night. But actually, like last night, the Ravens won the time of possession battle against the Titans. That doesn't matter in and of itself. So it can be an indicator of how things ended up going, but it doesn't prove anything on its own. And I feel very similarly with running the ball. The Chiefs' offense is so good whenever it throws, whenever it throws a lot. I hope they pass all day long. And then, you know, whenever you end up in third and short or on the goal line, you need to be able to run the ball well. Damien Williams is the guy in that backfield who seems to have gotten back to what he was showing a little bit last year in terms of being able to catch passes out of the backfield, most importantly, but also pick up some short yardage stuff. So they will run it some, but honestly, I'm not worried about any sort of balance. Just a few handoffs a game in efficient places and running that effectively is totally fine by me. Otherwise, I don't want to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands.
Yeah, I'm looking at the game from that they lost to the Texans earlier in the season. They ran the ball 11 times, and the Texans won the time of possession. They had 39 minutes of possession to 20, almost 21 minutes of possession from the Chiefs. How do the Chiefs limit Deshaun Watson? I mean, we saw the acrobatics that he did last week. How do they kind of keep him inside the pocket and make him throw the ball a little more and try to make him less mobile?
I think it's multifold, right? Where getting Chris Jones back and having Frank Clark be healthy, although Chris Jones is questionable with a calf injury that popped up midweek, so keep an eye on that. But if they can pressure Watson as everyone has pressured Watson. The Chiefs didn't, though, back in Week 6. They did not sack Deshaun Watson in that game, and that seems like an impossible thing in retrospect. They need to be able to get to him with four a good amount of the time. Bill O'Brien seems to let Watson scramble around a ton in the backfield, looking downfield to these long developing plays. The Chiefs need to punish them for doing that. And so I think they need to be able to get there with limited guys and let the coverages hang. The defensive backfield's improved over the course of the year. And Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator this year, first year with the Chiefs, he will happily blitz Deshaun Watson and make the Texans adjust. The thing is, you know, sometimes you have two guys in the backfield hit Deshaun Watson, and then he bounces around and throws it, you know, downfield in a back-breaking fashion. Sometimes you kick him in the eye and he throws a touchdown. Like, he does have that kind of, like, well, sometimes you just lose factor about him that Mahomes has. But for the Chiefs, it's got to be consistent pressure, and sometimes you're going to get pressure and he's going to escape. That's just going to happen.
Joshua Briscoe from Kansas City on the phone with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Eric Bieniemy interviewing for head coaching jobs, but it seems like unless he gets the Browns job, he's going to get passed over throughout this head coaching hiring period. Now, Matt Nagy was in Kansas City before he got the Bears job, and when I look at the resumes between Nagy and Bieniemy, I feel like Bieniemy is a more qualified candidate at this moment than Matt Nagy was. Why has Bieniemy not gotten a head coaching job at this point?
It's a very good question, and if somehow Kevin Stefanski gets the Browns job and Eric Bieniemy doesn't, Eric Bieniemy just has to retire. Like, he just has to be like, well, this is never going to happen, I guess. It doesn't really matter. Kirk Cousins, this guy, is getting the job, and I'm not. All right, I'm out. He is as qualified in every way as Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson. Both, obviously, you guys have seen Nagy, and I know this year was not last year for him, but he's also been working with Mitch Trubisky, and that whole process is a process, I guess, to be redundant. There are a couple of things with Bieniemy. One is that he was a running back and then was a running back's coach, but now he's had the reins of the offense for 2 weeks or 2 years in a row now. And for the last several weeks, Andy Reid has been just effusive in his praise of him, and even has pointed out in a way that he doesn't do publicly, like, He's like, yeah, he's in the meeting room where we make the game plans together, and he memorizes all the plays all the time. Like, Andy Reid wants him to get a job. Clark Hunt, the owner, has talked about wanting Bieniemy to get a job. Mahomes has talked about Bieniemy wanting to get a job, and it hasn't happened. And I mean, there's one difference for people who don't know the rotation of coordinators that is now, to me, very, very obvious. Eric Bieniemy's black. And Nagy wasn't, Peterson wasn't, and as you see the choices made rotationally throughout all these teams that can't hold on to a head coach, whenever Joe Judge gets a head coaching job and Bieniemy's been the offensive coordinator for the MVP the last two seasons, MVP last year, and then, you know, this year Mahomes is injured and whatnot, but to be the coordinator for Mahomes and under Andy Reid for 2 years and to not get a job in either of those seasons, after either of those seasons, that's relevant. That matters, and it's hard to look away from.
You wrote on The Athletic, the AFC is open for the taking, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are in good position to seize it. Has that been a lot of the conversation this week with the Patriots out, whether it's with the team, whether it's on radio, whether it's with the fans, about how this is Andy Reid's time, this is Patrick Mahomes' time to kind of take over the AFC and have a little bit of a run here?
Yeah, so at least for Mahomes, whenever I've asked him about it, it's way more specific to this week. Part of it for me is that, hey, it's probably good for Reid and Mahomes if they're worried about the Texans, but let me talk about the next decade, because I don't know how you can not be thinking about that. And obviously, you know, Lamar Jackson suffers an early exit. Now Deshaun Watson and Mahomes are going to be facing off here. If Tannehill wins the AFC this year, then maybe everything resets. But for me and for a handful of people that I've talked to, yeah, that's super relevant right now. The AFC hasn't been this open since I've been paying attention to football, honestly. Like, you go back to 2003, Brady wins. And then after that, the AFC has been Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl every single year except for that one fever dream of Joe Flacco. Every other year, it's one of those three guys, and obviously this year it won't be. So, yeah, I mean, not only do the Chiefs, and then also, you know, by relation there, the Texans and previously the Ravens, not only do they all have a chance to take the first shot in kind of this new battle of the three young AFC quarterbacks that figure to hang around for a decade, they can do it for success in 1 year, but also to kind of set up the expectations for the next 10. And it might not be important to Reid and Mahomes right now, guys who want to win a Super Bowl. I think it's really, really interesting because, seriously, I mean, the AFC has not looked like this in almost 20 years.
Who wins today and why?
I think the Chiefs win today, and I think that they're better in just about every area. The biggest thing for me is if they don't win, it's because the deep passing game for the Texans is as explosive as it can be. And I have faith with healthy Frank Clark, with the return of Chris Jones, that the pass rush will keep the Texans from doing a ton of that. Both of these teams are going to get shots in, but I think the Chiefs are better offensively. I think the defense will limit Houston's offense just enough. And I think we're going to get a little dose of Patrick Mahomes today that reminds everybody that he is the better of these two quarterbacks in a really good quarterback matchup. And I also think some people are going to keep learning about Steve Spagnuolo's defense really turning things around here.
Thank you, Joshua. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to twist a knife, I'll be here.
Thank you. Yes. Joshua Briscoe from Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. He also writes for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Legendary stuff. If this can go on for the next 10 to 15 years in the AFC, it's going to be Watson and Mahomes. And going back and forth, I think many of us are kind of picturing a Brady Manning type setup going forward, right? Like that's what we have in front of us. We all think that both of these quarterbacks are going to be generational talents. Now, it's the NFL. I had this same kind of thought with Andrew Luck, and he got injured.
Health. Yeah, that's health.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's football. Football is health.
Of course.
Listen, you can't predict this stuff. So even though today, in the first time that these two are going to face off against each other, it seems as if we will get 10 to 15 years of this in the AFC. Problem is, you never know what could happen. This might be the only time they face off, and I'm excited for it.
This game's at 2:00, so you've got 5-ish hours, truthers. Get your drafts ready. Get you set up all your drafts.
Yeah,
see, well, blank quarterback isn't as good.
Yeah, right.
The Bears were right to take. So just get the drafts ready.
Here.
Get them ready. Send them out after the game. Send them out throughout the game. It's fine. I get it. Today's your day. Because ultimately, today's the day for the truthers. You know why? Because one of these quarterbacks is going to lose.
Right, right.
So either way, it's going to be like, see, this guy's not the guy. It's mind-blowing to me. Because it's the first thing I think of and the last thing I think when I wake up. And the last thing I think of when I go to bed is how Trubisky's on the Bears. And they could have had one of these two quarterbacks.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, you think about your dog. Think about your wife. You think about your good health.
But mostly Trubisky.
You're not waking up like a Trubisky truther in cold sweat thinking about Mahomes and Watson. You're not doing that. This isn't Abdallah at 3 a.m. waking up. Ugh.
I don't understand how anyone can objectively look at these three quarterbacks and not say, well, these two are better than that one.
Well, you know why.
No, I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
I don't know why.
Sometimes people just have to be like that.
Well,
listen, if you don't want to watch football, that's fine. Don't watch football. Be that guy. If you want to be that guy in the group of friends who's just annoying and just saying stuff because you need attention, then be that guy. Clearly, if you watch football, Trubisky is not like Mahomes or Watson. Clearly. End of story. There is no, how could someone think? No. There is no thinking of that. That's not real. That's not a real thing. That's just make-believe.
There's always one movie quote guy.
Black and Abdallah, coming up next, we preview the national championship game on Monday. LSU, Clemson, we have thoughts.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You can keep my regret, baby, I got these scars, reminding me to forget you left your
face. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. In 10 minutes, we talk about Lamar Jackson. Gimmick? Innovation?
MVP?
Yeah, perhaps. Well, we'll talk about it in 10 minutes here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Monday night, the national championship game. You can watch it on every single ESPN platform. There is a platform for everything. The mega cast of the national championship game, Clemson against LSU, down at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. It will be a home game for the LSU Tigers, which I think, Interestingly enough, I think helps Clemson because they've got a chip on their shoulder for a team trying to match back-to-back undefeated seasons, back-to-back championships. I like this situation for the Clemson Tigers going to face LSU in a hostile environment.
I think people have slept on Clemson all year. I think that they see the weak ACC schedule. Look, Dabo can't recruit for every school. You know, he can't go out there and get a Trevor Lawrence for Florida State.
He's not repping for Mac Brown.
No, but coincidentally enough, so Mac Brown, the North Carolina gave them their toughest test. They won that game 21-20. After that game, they only gave up more than 14 points to one team the entire season. They didn't give up more than 20 points the entire season. This defense is great. Both these defense, top 25 in red zone efficiency. That means touchdowns turn into field goals. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than people think. I think that everybody kind of has the recency bias with what we saw from LSU and the way that they handled Oklahoma.
Well, especially in the SEC championship game, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Abdallah, not to cut you off there, but the 6 points in this game on the spread, I would put those points in the pocket and ride with Dabo and Trevor Lawrence every single day of the week because I get it. Recency bias and all the points that LSU puts up. The key here, though, defensively, that Clemson defense, like you pointed out, the points per game and what they haven't given up more than 20 points how many times this season?
They only gave up 20 points once this season.
Once. They are number one in the country in points per game defensively. Mm-hmm. LSU is 26th. So both teams are going to be able to score. I think one team is going to be able to stop the other quarterback. I think when you have your back against the wall, I would ride with the guy who's proven it before, and that's Trevor Lawrence. I like Clemson in this game tomorrow night.
That's what also you can't... I know that, you know, they've had the limelight on them for a lot of the season, LSU, right?
And you got the 35-year-old Joe Burrow at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Well, Joe Burrow went from unranked in the top 200 to now being the number one or number two pick in the draft, right? Like, he's going to go number one, right? So you look at that and, like, there's something about experience.
And it's the thing no one's talking about in this college football season. The dude is older than everybody else.
But that
adds to something. He's been great. He won the Heisman. He's been fantastic. He's going to go number one in the NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence is like 19.
Well, I mean, he's 45 years old, Chris. But my point is, when you've got a guy like Dabo and Clemson who has been here, you know, over and over again, they know how to handle all the stuff that's outside of the game. They know how to handle all the media availability and all the fun stuff that goes along with going to a national championship game and going to a playoff game. They've been here before. And look, Dabo will have you believe he's some country bumpkin or whatever, but that's what he relies on. He loves that. He loves being the underdog. He loves having a chip on his shoulder. I don't have it in front of me, but him as an underdog is insane. They've covered by like 16 points every time he's in it. Like, Dabo as an underdog is almost like Tom Herman in Texas as an underdog. Take him as an underdog time and time again.
Here's the number. Dabo Swinney is 8-1 against the spread and 7-2 straight up.
There it is.
As an underdog at Clemson. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So Clemson LSU tomorrow night, the national championship game. It should have been played last week, but okay, here we are.
No,
we're ready for the end of the college football season, even though the season ended quite a while ago. We're finally here.
Yeah.
Here's the championship game
tomorrow night. You never know how the NFL games are going to go, but I like having it after when you're supposed to have the eight best teams playing, and then it goes into this game.
It should have been last Monday night.
It should have been, yeah.
Okay, So Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's back. Our favorite segment here on the show, it's called Good Question. We score the host here on ESPN 1000, and this is how it works. What happens is when we listen to all the shows and all these different interviews that take place, you have a radio host who asks a question, and if the guest responds, good or great question, you get a point. And that's how we do this segment called Good Question. Now, we have done this for two full years, and Abdallah, you have the stats behind who won 2 years ago and who won last year the championship for a good question.
Jonathan Hood ran away with it in 2018 with 33. The next closest was 19 from Cap. Last year, Waddle won with 30. The next closest was Cap again with 27. So Waddle has the crown so far as we head into a new year, into the 2020 good question season.
If you want to participate throughout the week, tweet Adam Abdallah at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck throughout the week. If you hear a host get a good question, let us know. Sometimes we miss some. We can't do everything here at ESPN 1000. So here we go. 2020, the new year. Here is our first edition of Good Question.
What are you better at today? Like being a husband? Like, what do you do now that
kicking
you probably,
it off.
Oh, right.
If you looked at yourself 10 years ago, you definitely did not do?
Well, that's a great question.
Kurt, you were a guy when given a chance late, you took advantage. Are there guys out there who maybe some people are discounting that you like that you could bring in as a backup that still have a high ceiling?
Trubisky question.
That's a good question.
Which team do you have the most confidence in to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
Look at you getting on the board.
Good question.
Eric, we've been talking. You mentioned the Titans and what they need to do to potentially win. It seems like because of the season that Ryan Tannehill has been able to deliver for them, they may be finding themselves in a situation where they're trying to re-sign him long term. And even though things have gone really well for him, I wonder if this could eventually be a long term mistake for the franchise. How have you viewed the renaissance that Ryan Tannehill has had this season?
It's a great question.
That's it.
Boom, we get four.
All right,
the
that's
year.
Fine.
There
that's fine. Step
good
your
question.
Game up. Step your games up.
So each week at about 8:45-ish, we will play Good Question. It's a fun game that we play throughout the week, and we'll see who wins the 2020 championship here at ESPN 1000. Lamar Jackson, gimmick or the future? We talk about it next.
Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.